This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Deborah Becker. College is a time of transition in a young person's life. It's also a time when mental health issues can become apparent. And a traumatic event, such as a rape, can exacerbate those issues. In the latest installment in our series, Suicide, A Crisis in the Shadows, WBUR's Lynn Joliker has the story of a Duxbury woman who left college because of her struggles and ultimately took her life.
When Jamie Neal was home on medical leave from Williams College in early 2010, her parents were going to great lengths to try to protect her.
I knew she was suicidal.
Jamie's mother, Debbie Neal.
My husband and I decided we would do everything to keep her alive. The last few months before she died, I had her sleep in my bed next to me. And every single day, I asked her on a 1 to 10 how she felt and was she suicidal. And she would tell me that she was a 5 and that she wasn't suicidal.
In August 2009, the Duxbury resident had made a suicide attempt that left her in a coma for several days. Suicide had become her desperate attempt to escape a complex web of pain and trauma. Not only mental illness, but sexual assault and drug addiction. A dark journey in a life filled with so much promise.
Jamie was always, always smiling.
Like many other survivors of suicide, the Neals recall a loved one who was outwardly happy, even in Jamie's case, outrageously fun. She had a ready smile.
It kind of defined who she was. She loved other people who were struggling, and she was very kind, and she had a beautiful heart.
There were some signs early on that Jamie might have mental health issues. A nursery school teacher noticed the normally cheerful, outgoing girl would sometimes withdraw into a sad state. And the straight-A student was a perfectionist in everything she did. Abe Neal is Jamie's brother.
That perfectionism drove her and motivated her. On the other hand, I don't want to say it necessarily did her in, but it was very difficult for her. You would find her at 4 a.m. editing some minor paper for an English class. And she was also very hard on herself as things started going downhill with herself.
If someone said something disparaging to her, she'd replay it over and over in her head and wear herself down, her family says. She was eventually treated for bipolar disorder.
This is the collage I look at.
Jamie's father, Bob Neal, again piecing together the puzzle, scans photos of Jamie, trying to determine when she started seriously struggling.
This is 2000. This is Ireland. I can see joy in her face. I look at this, which is 2008. That's a mask. And you can see it. Her smile is formed differently.
A couple years before that, the Neals had learned about a painful secret Jamie had been keeping. She revealed she had been raped 2 years earlier when she was 16. She would never give details. She blamed herself, as if it were a failure because she had been drinking at the time. Her parents now had an explanation for other things going on in Jamie's life.
She did get involved with drugs, which was a shock at the time because she was so happy. But in retrospect, it's the mental illness and then the rape on top of that that really just did her in.
Research has found sexual assault, even without pre-existing mental illness, increases the risk of suicide. Survivors are also more likely to abuse alcohol and drugs to self-medicate.
This is a very hard topic to talk about just because there's shame attached to it, there's stigma attached to it. But this kind of self-medication shouldn't be treated as a moral issue. It's a medical issue.
Shortly after Jamie started her freshman year at Williams, the standout student and athlete took leave and started a string of inpatient drug treatment programs. Her parents say a man she met at one of them introduced her to opiates. By the next fall, though, she was sober and doing better overall, so she returned to Williams. Her family says she got great support at the college. She saw a campus psychiatrist and received extra attention and care from one particular dean. But she ended up being removed from the basketball team roster because of a long-standing injury, which added to her depression. Her addiction remained a struggle. Her parents point out Williams couldn't possibly provide mental health care comprehensive enough for Jamie. And then she reported she was raped again, not at school, but allegedly by someone she met through a 12-step program. She called her parents to take her home and went on medical leave after completing a year and a half of school.
You can't change what happens to you in life.
Still, her mother, Debbie Neal, says the family remained optimistic.
She was so competitive that she was the definition of somebody who could win over all odds. That's who she seemed to be. But in retrospect, inside, she wasn't.
Jamie entered more drug treatment programs, and she was seeing a psychiatrist in Boston and a therapist closer to home. But her parents say the care wasn't coordinated.
So at the time when in therapy she was getting into some difficult discussions about her trauma, the prescribers were backing off on her medication, specifically lithium, which for someone with bipolar is standard. It's fragmentation of care. And that is a recipe for disaster.
The Neals say they'd like to see a system of care for people who are suicidal that's something like hospice in terms of its coordination, with a team including a doctor, social worker, even volunteers working together to monitor, treat, and support the person. With Jamie, she again improved, though. Her parents thought she was better than ever. She was planning to go back to Williams, and they dropped their guard a bit, leaving her alone on occasion, including the brief time on the day in March of 2010 that the 21-year-old ended up taking her life. The Neals say they wish they knew then that, as in many other cases of suicide, Jamie likely seemed happier because she had made a plan to die.
When I think about Jamie, I think she died of a mental illness. I think she fought really, really hard her entire life. But I do believe she died of a brain disease.
The Neals say, though they wanted their daughter's pain to end, they know suicide is never the answer. They hope through wider education to reduce stigma and better coordination and parity in mental health care, fewer families will suffer the same kind of loss. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.
For more of our series, Suicide, A Crisis in the Shadows, go to our website, wbur.org.